Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast, the coolest show on the internet, I think. This is Dr. John. It's good to have everybody out there with us in Radio Land. I've always wanted to say that. Anyway, glad to have everyone here. We got a superb show tonight. First of all, I want to introduce my co-host, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. Papa Stroh, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. It's really funny, everybody, because you know, we just got done with WCW Retro, and it's just like I've been talking to him for like an hour and a half, so we know how we are doing, but that's okay. Tonight, this guest is a result of my last trip to Clayton, Georgia. We are putting on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference over there. That is going to be August. I better get my poster here so I get the right dates. I'm sorry, no, it's April 26th through the 28th, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And a gentleman contacted me, went over and met him. He lives in the coolest house I've seen. I think I want one. And his name is William Rodriguez. William, good evening and welcome to ScaryCast with Papa Stroh and me. We are so glad to have you.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for inviting me out.
Absolutely. You live in one of the dome houses. Now, the way the story was relayed to me, it's like a couple parts. There's a UFO landing, there's Mr. Kelly, and there's the dome houses. Can you fill us in on the story, sir?
Yeah, of course. Basically, from what I've heard, now this is just, you know, basic, I guess, local legend from this point. I haven't heard, you know, I haven't had any direct evidence of this, but in sometime during the 70s, I heard early to the mid 70s, there was all this was mainly national forest land still. And evidently there was a hunter back here and he came across a unidentified object craft that was sitting on the ground. Kind of scared him. He went back to town, told some people. They thought he was crazy, and he showed a few people evidently, and it stayed here supposedly for 3 days. And basically, Peter Kelly heard about the story and purchased this big piece of property and started building dome houses. And we are the largest concentration of dome houses on the East Coast.
All right. Now, so that everyone knows, and I guess I jumped the gun a little bit, you live in a little community called Lakemont, correct?
Yes.
In and around that. And that is probably, what would you say, maybe five or six miles from Clayton, Georgia? Would that be about right?
Yeah, around 8 miles or so from Clayton,
okay.
So about 10 minutes.
Right, and then right where you live on a hill, and it's beautiful over there, except when it's raining and you take the wrong turn 4 times like I did. But anyway, you are just right above Lake Raven, which is a huge bedroom community. Yeah.
Yep, exactly, right above Lake Raven and in between Tallulah Gorge and Clayton, Georgia.
Yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous up there. I was really taken with it. I got to tell it. William, can I quickly tell the story of how I got
there? Go for
it. I was petrified. Okay, so here's what happens. So I'm talking with William on the phone, and he says, I want you to come to my house and see it. It's a dome house. And I said, wow, this is great. I can't wait. So I'm just heading out of Clayton, going down the highway and making a right and going down a hill. And there's the beautiful art community of Lakemont. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's raining cats and dolphins. Is my GPS says, make a right on Oasis Drive. All right. So I make a right on Oasis Drive, and sure enough, on my left is this white dome house or dome building, and it said Kelly Technologies. I said, oh, this is kind of cool. So I drive up just a little farther, and all of a sudden the road ends, and it is an impenetrable or an unpassable dirt road that is muddy. And I looked at that, and I said, well, I can't get up there. And all of a sudden it starts raining harder. And the first thing that I thought about was Last House on the Left. Papa Stroh, you know about those horror films, don't you?
Pretty much.
So anyway, and I don't think I had told you this story. So I'm driving up there, and I said, no, this is terrible. I could be driving up here. Nobody's around. I mean, this is a fairly remote area. I'm on a hill. I could be dead. So I call William. I'm like, William, now the road has ended, and I can't get up there. And so William, of course, calmly says, did you read my text? I said, maybe not. So I looked at his text. He said, don't turn up Oasis Road or Oasis Drive. You have to come to the next road. So I felt just a little bit better. But anyway, by the time I backed around and went straight down that little hill, it was starting to get scary again. It was raining harder and harder. So I cut up the next road, and I get lost. And so, and I'm on the phone with him. And, I mean, these are one-lane roads. Most of them are gravel. And the first thing that I was thinking about was, I can just see it 4 years from now. Podcast producer and Comic-Con director found stuffed in oil barrel or something. I mean, it was looking scary. It really was. And then I drive down the wrong road. William, you remember? And I call you. I say, William, I'm looking down a cliff. I was in some road. There were three beautiful dome houses there, but I was looking straight down a cliff. And I said, this is terrible. I almost wanted to say, this is no way to meet somebody. But he said, I'll come get you. So he comes, and I follow him up there to the house. And lo and behold, he stops the car, and I look down there. And that is the coolest pink, purple, mauve colored house I've ever seen. And all of a sudden, I felt really good. I felt like I was in the middle of nature. But it was kind of scary. William, it was scary getting there, but it was kind of funny along the way. Now that I've been there and found out you've got a beautiful house, it's in a really neat situation there. And can you tell us a little bit about the dome houses themselves and kind of how they're built? Because I think they're really neat. And if everybody wants to, go to the website scarycast.com. And I've got a picture of the dome house, the one that William lives in. So, William, tell us just a little bit about how they're built.
Yeah, of course. You know, the funny thing is, though, is I do I offer Airbnb guests here. And your story is one of probably 20 of people that get lost here and I have to go and find them. So it's not a big deal. And you're not the first one to think, oh Lord, where am I now? So
last house on the left. Yeah. Yep. You got it.
Yeah, exactly. I live in a very rural area. And, you know, we are somewhat close to Clayton, even though Clayton is not the biggest town. So it's understandable. I live in a monolithic dome, and you can go to monolithic.com. They've actually wrote a couple blog posts about me. They're a very common dome type structure. They're made out of concrete, as with the name mono, basically big, you know, monolithic, big stone structure, basically. This is made out of concrete, and for the most part, they put down a concrete foundation. They create a custom vinyl balloon, which is they call airform. So it's like a thick vinyl balloon, basically, and you attach it to your foundation, and you get a big fan, and you blow it up. And then they come inside while this big vinyl balloon is attached to your foundation, blown up. Come inside, they throw up rebar, spray in foam insulation for a couple inches, and then they spray in concrete over the rebar. So it's just one solid piece of concrete, the dome structure exterior itself, basically. And the inside is just a very, very big open open floor plan kind of space. And in our community, we have geodesic domes that are made out of wood. We have some concrete geodesic domes, and then most of our structures in this neighborhood are monolithic.
Okay, that's kind of neat. Now, I would like to augment your story just a little bit. I remember going up the hill and seeing the white monolithic dome, and it said Kelly Technologies. And I was very interested, you know, because I like history, and I wanted to go find out a little bit more about the whole community, because as the story goes, and you and a number of other people said, Mr. Kelly bought the land, built these. There was something very special about the whole thing. Well, I guess, first of all, because there was a UFO there. And so I go, and this is real funny. I mean, this was like the world's craziest day. So I called you up. I said, now, do you know these people, William? And you said, well, not really. I said, okay. And then you offered a kind suggestion. You said, well, John, why don't you call them up? I said, oh, no, that's not my style. No, I'm going to knock on a door. I'm going to startle them. I'm going to let them know it's me. And I think you laughed, and I hung up. I was probably going up some kind of a dirt road or something trying to get back there. So when I got out, I got to their offices, and there was a car in the driveway. I said, this is good. They're here. It was about 10 minutes till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I said, well, I've got my poster from the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and I can get out my article from the Clayton Tribune, which shows that, yes, I'm John Stamey, and I'm probably the guy running the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, because, you know, I didn't want to startle them too much. Papa Stroh's seen me startle people enough. So I got everything together, and so I get out of the car, and so I go knock on the door. And then I knock again, and then I hear somebody coming. And someone kind of looks out the window, and they very cautiously open the door. And it was a nice average fella. He was about 30 years old, and I looked at him. I didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. I said, "Hello, I'm Dr. John, and I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and I want to know all about this building." And he started laughing. And so he called his girlfriend, who happens to be the daughter of Mr. Kelly. They still run that as an operation where they do manufacturing. And I found out a couple things. First of all, Mr. Kelly built all of those houses as domes because he didn't want any ghosts. Mr. Kelly said that ghosts hang out in the corners. So that was the first thing I found out. And then they told me about their operation. They make radionics equipment. Very, very interesting stuff. I'm going to be talking with Kelly Technologies more, and we'll discuss that. It's some very interesting stuff. I've been looking for it for quite a while, and lo and behold, found it right there in Lakemont, Georgia. So, they were quite nice, and so they told me all about it, and they also took me down to the actual location where the UFO had been found. And it was just this little flat area where nothing grew. And I thought it was very interesting. It was raining so hard I was not able to take a picture, but that will come the next time around. So, and they said that their father heard about it, and the land must be something special. So he bought it, and he started building these houses and selling them, and, you know, did very well with that, and then continued on with his research, his electronics research, and the development of his company, Kelly Technology. So, I mean, it was really kind of a neat story. There'll be a part two to this for sure, and William, I'll fill you in, and I'd like to get you back on there. Maybe I can get one of the folks from Kelly Technologies. But it was really neat. Now, there are some strange things on that property. William, there's a chapel. And it's a dome. It's another dome house, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. It's called the Cistern Chapel, is what Peter Kelly called it.
The Cistern Chapel. Okay. And so,
yep.
Tell us about the remarks that were made by the folks that were building it, because you've got a fairly standard kind of land there. There's normally bedrock there, correct?
Yeah, usually within the first 1 or 2 feet. And so basically, you know, as I lived here, starting on my business, I wanted to try to find out as much as possible. So one of my neighbors actually gave me an article that they had saved from Aquarius Atlanta magazine in 1994. They published an article, and it was basically an interview with Peter Kelly. And in this article, it states, in quotes, that I was given channeled information that I am building on the same site where I had built a Stargate once before to travel between dimensions, he said. Quote again, we dug down 45 feet and hit no rock whatsoever. The backhoe operator said he had never dug more than a few feet without hitting bedrock. And what we were removing didn't even look like normal dirt. It was a grayish material like 10,000-year-old deteriorated concrete. And this kind of actually goes into some stories, like some old Cherokee stories about there used to be stargates in this area. So it's kind of interesting, definitely.
So there used to be stargates in that area where you would travel between dimensions. Wow.
Yeah, that's what some of the old Cherokee stories say. Some of the big, larger, well-known mounds around here supposedly operated some kind of Stargate system. If you can look it up online, there's some old stories about it.
Well, Papa Stro, you can tell why I like this area, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
You better believe it. So if you are able to make it to the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, I'm going to have you out there at Williams Place, and you can see all this. It's really magnificent, but it is enshrouded in mystery, and that's what I think is interesting about it. And also, I've heard the best barbecue in Rabun County is William. I've heard it's right down there before you turn in and go down to Lakemont. So I'll have to check that out. I'm an expert in barbecue, which means I like to eat it. But that's okay. So,
oh yeah, me too.
Anyway, oh good. Then we'll all get there. That'll be great. But it's an interesting place. It's a spiritual place. Now, Monday, on Bigfoot and Company, Matt Delph and I interviewed Mary Joyce. Mary Joyce has a blog called SkyshipsOverCashers.com. And it's a blog that a lot of people read. She's got a lot of neat conspiracy theories, a lot of stories about, you know, the government, about UFOs, about Bigfoot, Papa Stro. Again, you know why I like that site. And Mary Joyce was great. So what happened is we started talking, and when I was at the Rabun County Library, the manager, Stephanie, said, John, we had a lady come here and talk 2 years ago, and she left a book about the Cherokee Little People, and she talked about them. So she brings out a copy of this book, and it's by Mary Joyce. And I said, well, turns out Mary Joyce is going to be on our show this coming Monday. So it was quite serendipitous that I found a book by Mary Joyce about the Cherokee Little People. And we also talked about the Little People when we had Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers on here. So this is like the second time, and actually the third time, that we've talked about the existence of the Little People, which seem to be like 2 to 3 feet, maybe two and a half feet tall. And Mary Joyce's book, I'll just say this, she was very smart. In the year 2000, she found some of the older folks around Silva, North Carolina, who talked about all of the artifacts that were found when they were building some of the larger buildings at Western Carolina University, which is in Cullowhee. And so Mary Joyce was so intrigued with this, and she talked with several of those folks that were on the construction project, that she interviewed them. And this is a wild book. It has stories where they're talking about the artifacts, the bones that were dug up, and everything of people who seemed to stand about two and a half feet tall. And that's exactly what Jen Cruz was talking about. So we've got evidence that there may have been some interesting inhabitants of those areas prior to maybe you, William, and the folks that settled there in Clayton, Georgia. Have you heard now? Have you heard many stories about the little people? Because I know that you also deal with something over there in Otto, North Carolina. If you want to, if you just want to share that with us, because you've got a really, you've got a really interesting job, kind of like I do. So tell us a little bit. If you know anything about the Cherokee people, let us know. The little people, let us know. Otherwise, tell us what you do in Otto, North Carolina.
Yeah, basically, there's tons of stories. Yeah, there's tons of stories from the Cherokee and the people before the Cherokee, the Creek and stuff that were around here at the time of, you know, pre-contact and contact. Basically, there's a ton of stories about the little people at Tallulah Gorge. There's like so many different stories about little people at Tallulah Gorge. You can look up so many old Cherokee stories and some pre-Creek stories about those. From, you know, the little people, they go and ask the little people for help because of some big sickness that's going around, and they, the little people actually turn one of the Cherokee into a huge snake that they know as Uktena. And then that snake was supposed to protect the people, and then something happens where the snake gets jealous, and basically a hunter has to hunt it down. And basically that is the one of the stories for the origin of Tallulah Gorge itself, as the snake died and fell rolling down a hillside. It fell and landed so hard that it broke open the earth and created the gorge. So there's like a ton of stories about little people, and I actually heard about like other places nearby where there was like underground dwelling kind of spaces that were just too small for a lot of people, and that kind of correlates with some of the stuff that we do. I help run a business with my partner, Reciprocity. And we do events, and one of the events, for example, that we do up in Otto, North Carolina at the Otto Labyrinth Park is we do the Fairy Festival, and this is the second year that we're doing it. And we have a bunch of speakers, vendors, and things like that for the day. And it's basically to benefit the landowners who basically protect that land, which is what is known as federally recognized or nationally recognized fairy property. I guess a fairy expert has went out there and said there are many different species of fairy on the property. So we threw a big event called the Fairy Festival and Labyrinth, the Fairy and Labyrinth Festival, and just kind of celebrating the fairies and benefiting the people who protect that land, which is some magical land as well. There's so many great places out here in this region that are just amazing, really. So.
Right. Well, I hope that I'm going to be coming up there on March the 14th. Lyle Blackburn, my buddy in Papa Stroh, you know Lyle. He was at the Lizard Man Festival. Lyle wrote the book Lizard Man: True Story of the Monster of Bishopville. And he also wrote the Boggy Creek books. And Lyle has a brand new book coming out on March the 5th about Momo, the Missouri monster. So Lyle's going to be up there at Exploration Bigfoot in Cherry Log, Georgia. So I'm hoping, William, that we can head on up to Otto, because I'd like to see this land, take some pictures and put them on our website for Scarycast, and show all my friends about the there's a labyrinth. I can't wait to see that. I don't even know what that might look like. And then we'll also have pictures of the enchanted forest. And I mean, I just think it's quite natural that we would have something as spectacular as that right outside of Rabun County in Clayton, Georgia, in Lakemont. I mean, it's a really neat area up there. It is. And so you told me a couple stories that I really liked. One was about the young Indian who needed to find a wife and what happened to him. And I thought, do you mind? There's that story, and there are a couple more that you told us, or that you told me when I was up there. So do you mind sharing those? Those are great Native American legends. And who knows what went on back then?
Yeah, of course. I love collecting stories. And, well, one of my passions is the native cultures, and a lot of my ancestors are native. You know, I have Cherokee, Creek, Taino from the Caribbean, and Mayan ancestors. So I've always kind of collected stories and things like that. One of my passions is creating instruments, indigenous instruments and things, and that kind of goes along with creating instruments and playing instruments and telling stories. So I like to collect stories, and one of the ones that I came across was, from what I remember, is like an old Creek story, but the Creek Nation kind of went into the Cherokee Confederation in the 1800s. So now it's considered a Cherokee story, and it's called The Man Who Married Thunder's Sister. And basically it talks about this young man who needs to be married. He's getting old. And up here in Clayton, they called it the Crossroads. So there was a large settlement up here in Clayton where the Clayton town is right now in the valley. And that was a big Cherokee settlement. And they always had big dances, or what people call powwows nowadays. And that was basically so everybody could get together and meet, and maybe even if you were young, meet a new spouse outside of your clan. So this young man, he was at one of these dances, and two of the most beautiful women with long blonde hair came into the dance. And he said that he was going to marry one of them. So they said, that might be a good idea, but you have to meet our brother. So, after some, haggle back and forth, and them explaining that they live down under Tallulah Gorge, he decided that he was going to go and get the right, the agreement of their brother to marry one of them. So they tell him to wait, and they'll be back in 7 days at the next dance and come get him. So eventually they come back, and he's willing to go, so he follows them down the river. It's a few miles from Clayton to Tallulah Gorge. You basically have to follow the river down. Back then, there's no roads, So it takes him some time, and the women lead him to the edge of the water near the gorge of the river, and they dive in, basically, head first. And he is scared because the water down there is very fast. It's very rough. So he decides, there's no way I'm jumping in here. And they pop back out of the water and say, oh, it's fine. There's no water here. And they grab his hand, basically, from what the story goes, and pull him in. But then he figures out that it's not actually water. It's like a hallucination or something. It's told to me that it was like tall grass. Instead of walking down into water, it was like walking into tall grass. And he went under the area that was water, and they come out under a cave, under the big, what they call is Hurricane Falls at the bottom of Tallulah Gorge. So they lived under this cave. And basically, it's kind of scary down there for him, from what the story goes. And they say, oh, just wait for our brother. He'll be back soon, and then you can talk to him and get his permission to marry one of us. And he hears a bunch of thunder. And they say, oh, don't worry. That's our brother. He's coming home. So he comes in, and the story goes that this brother is, like, not a human. He's, like, this big, unhumanly kind of creature that scares this warrior. And he decides he doesn't really even know if he wants to marry these girls. So he runs back into their space and looks at them, and they have taken off what he has realized is wigs, and they are bald-headed. And that really frightens him even more. So he runs back to the door and jumps and ends up being back in the water at the bottom of the falls. So he makes his way home, and from what he says, it's only been a few days, because it took him a few days to walk down, go under the cave, wait for the brother, find his way back out. And once he makes it back home, within the week of his time, It had actually been 7 years, I think. I've heard it's been many years. Nobody recognized him. He didn't recognize the Crossroads area. Nobody recognized him. He goes wandering around. Everybody thinks he's crazy, basically, until some older lady recognizes him and says, "Hey, you're my brother." And he's like, "There's no way, you're really old." And they're like, "No, I remember you. You haven't changed a bit." So that's basically how the story goes. And that's, I consider that the first abduction story that I've come across in this region.
Yep. I mean, it sounds like an alien abduction. It's a beautiful legend, and we don't know what all happened back then, but it's kind of neat, the stories up there. And also, you said that there are some steps down to the bottom of Tallulah Gorge where we can hopefully walk down and see if there's a cave underneath the falls.
Yeah, definitely. Tallulah Gorge is the largest gorge on the East Coast, from what I know, and it's 1,980 steps to the bottom, to Hurricane Falls. It's beautiful down there. And actually, if you get there early enough, we could actually get a pass to go off of the wooden deck area.
That would be great. I'd like anybody that wants to come when we're going down there for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference or any of the other times that we're going to be down there. There's also going to be, and I'll go ahead and announce this right now, it's going to be a lot of fun. On Friday, March the 29th, I will be down there at the Rabun County Library with Marshall Masters, the Planet X guru, and with William, and we're all going to be talking about our areas of specialty. I'm going to be talking about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Marshall's going to be talking about Planet X. William, you're going to talk about some interesting things, I'm sure. And we're all going to have a great time and use that as a way to really promote the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which is going to be held at the Rabun County Civic Center. And thanks to Annie Williams and all of her help in helping us arrange that. And thanks so much to Stephanie and Kim at the Rabun County Library for being so inviting and allowing us to come in there and work with them to produce this evening. It's going to be called Late Night at the Library or the Library After Dark. That's what it's going to be called. And hopefully we can do a live stream for that and everybody can hear it. So if you can't make it there on March the 29th, you can simply get it on YouTube or you can get it on Facebook. So, you know, we got a lot of great things going on down there, and I think it's beautiful territory. And, you know, William, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. I'm going to be down there. We're going to do a little more exploration, learn a little bit more about some of these legends and everything. When we do, could we get you back on here and we could talk a little bit more about the exciting things going on in and around Clayton and Otto, and we can have some pictures for everybody of the labyrinth and the forest and everything. Would you come back on with us?
Yeah, of course. I don't see a problem with that.
Well, great. Well, thanks. That would be great. So those are the stories. I know it's kind of a short show, but that's the result of 2 days in Clayton, Rabun County, and 2 days of driving. That's 4 days worth of experience in a nifty, nifty 33 minutes. So that's what we've got. That's our show. It's our very exciting first report from Rabun County and Clayton, Georgia, and Lakemont, where it's absolutely beautiful. And the Georgia Bigfoot Conference will be down there. So we'll make sure everybody knows
some
more about that as we get close.
We can mention Juddicola Rock, you know, and all the Bigfoot stories around here for Cherokee. Also, Raven Bald's really well known for that kind of stuff.
That's a good idea. Why don't you mention the Bigfoot story? Because, you know, we're going to be doing the Bigfoot conference there. Why don't you mention that? Tell us about that Bigfoot
basically
story.
Basically, there's another story. It's a Cherokee story as well. They call it Juddicola. I've heard pronunciation in a couple different ways, but there's still a big rock that is supposedly carved by him near Silva, North Carolina, not far from here. And supposedly Judicola, which translates roughly to man with slanted eyes, or keeper of the forest with slanted eyes, something along those lines. And he was supposedly a huge man covered in hair that came to this land right before contact, supposedly, so not really like a long time ago, 500 years or so. And he supposedly lived in this area for a while and carved this big soapstone rock, which many different people have said different things about it. But it's covered in petroglyphs and carvings into the soapstone. And one of the carvings kind of looks like a huge foot, basically. So that is called Judicola Rock. And there's a bunch of different stories about Judicola. Supposedly, like, the Cherokee couldn't go hunting without getting his permission, because basically he was the keeper of the forest. And then that kind of coincides with, like, a larger area that's in Georgia, and that is called Track Rock Gap. And that is not too far from Judicola, and it's another area with a bunch of petroglyphs carved into soapstone blocks, boulders. And basically it's been looted. Back in the 50s, they built a road straight through this basically national treasure, in my opinion. There used to be a ton of petroglyph rocks, and cairns, stone structures. There's still a bunch out there if you go hiking out there. One of my friends, his wife, she lives right across from Track Rock. And basically the story that she heard was Track Rock, when you look at it from a distance, it's almost like a pregnant woman laying down giving birth when you look at the mountains. And right in that little valley area where the child would come from is basically Track Rock. And there's tons of petroglyphs, hieroglyphs, and tons of stone structures, a bunch of terraces going all the way up the mountain. They're older than Cherokee. The Cherokee don't even know who built these things. And there's been a lot of connections to giants, supposedly. There's been a lot of, you know, stories of Mayans coming up here to mine gold and trade it back and bring it back down. So it's pretty interesting stuff going on up here with all the different stories. And that kind of also coincides with Rabin Bald, which is the second highest peak in Georgia, also in Rabin County. And there's a ton of stories about people going up to the Bald in the middle of the night and huge rocks being thrown, crazy sounds. The Cherokee said that the devil lived up there, but I think that's a very Christianized version, probably. But basically the story goes is, like, if you go up there at night, you're going to hear some huge boulders being thrown. You're probably going to hear sounds. And that is actually pretty significant, because some of the larger Bigfoot research teams, from what I hear, like to go into the War Woman area, which is a huge space of national forest, which is directly below Rabin Bald. So there's, like, all this national forest land in between Rabin Bald and War Woman area that is, like, really well known for Bigfoot sightings and things like that.
Wow, that's great. I know Matthew Delf is going to be there at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and he's going to be leading a Bigfoot expedition on Sunday. And we are in the process of getting some latitude and longitude readings for War Woman Road. And that road goes from Clayton, I guess, up toward Rabin Bald, correct?
War Woman goes from Clayton out toward South Carolina.
Okay. Well, I think it's going to be interesting when we get out there and see what we can find, because I know that Northeast Georgia is one of the hottest spots for Bigfoot exploration I know there's a lot down there near Cherry Log and Blue Ridge, but I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have I'm going to have Matt Delf come back on here once we get some of those get some of the latitude and longitude and see if we can figure out where we're going to go as he describes what you can do when we have the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And William, I'm looking forward to going down to the bottom of Tallulah Falls and Tallulah Gorge and seeing what see if we can look in there and see if we can find that cave where that young Indian man might have spent a little bit of time and all that. Who knows? Well, that's great. Are there any other interesting stories that you have?
You know, other than a few, you know, Bigfoot sightings nearby and things like that, you know, I could pull stories. I'm a story collector, you know. Like I said, you know, I teach about indigenous instruments, how to make them and story tell along them. I go to different schools around and teach about indigenous culture and indigenous instruments. So collecting stories is pretty common for me. So yeah, there's multiple Bigfoot sightings around. Well, I think one of the most interesting is probably right across the lake from me. I think it was 1994. There was a police officer who was hiking, who went to a waterfall. It's called Minnehaha Waterfall. It's like one of the most beautiful waterfalls in our county, in my opinion. And
okay.
It's kind of hard to find. It's across the lake, so not many people go there. There's not, like, any major signs. But if you search Minnehaha Waterfall in Raven County, you can find it. And it's this large, tall waterfall that's kind of out on the edge of National Forest where there's really nobody living out there. And supposedly the police officer was out there. He had spent time at Tallulah Gorge earlier in the day. He went to Minnehaha to spend the evening. He sat out there eating his dinner until it got dark. Everyone else, you know, he looked around. Everyone else was gone. And as the sun was going down, he packed up his stuff and turned around from the waterfall. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees it looks like someone crouching down next to the waterfall. So as a police officer in his training, he automatically, like, tries to say hello and starts walking toward this person that looks like they're crouching down. And, you know, get this, it's kind of dark, and it's getting dark at least. And in these mountains and the valleys and stuff, that once that sun starts going down, it's hard to see unless it's a full moon outside. So he starts walking toward this humanoid thing that's crouching down next to the waterfall in about 3 feet of brush. And he takes some more steps and says, "Hey, how you doing?" And the thing stands up, and he realizes it's, you know, 8-9 foot tall, this big dark creature that he can't tell exactly what it is, but he knows it's not a human. So he says, "Whoa, whoa," or something along those lines. And the creature steps a few feet toward him, making gurgling sounds. He pulls his service pistol and tells it to stop, and immediately it basically just turns around and goes up a huge embankment. Like, if you go to Minnehaha, you'll realize on both sides of this waterfall are some steep, steep embankments. People fall off of these things every year. There's always at least someone getting airlifted off of this waterfall. That's how steep and dangerous it is. And this creature, you know, just went straight up the side of the embankment basically in no time. You know, one of the common things that's commonly heard in Bigfoot stories, you know, they just kind of dash up steep embankments with ease, you know. So he, as soon as that thing went up the embankment, he pretty much just got out of there and went straight home. Basically.
Yeah, is this a policeman that might still be around that area?
Yeah, and that was a story that I believe I found that on one of the Bigfoot research report, you know, where BFRO.net, I think is what it is, Bigfoot research.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure when you search Raven County on the BFRO, it comes up as the Minnehaha sighting or something along those
gotcha.
Lines.
I'm sure people might know who that is, and hopefully we could. It'd be great to interview that person. Wow, there's a lot of great stories in there, a lot of great legends, a lot of great things, and the mountains of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia are filled with wonderful things. So we will be coming to visit you sooner than later. We'll have some more stories, and really do appreciate it. As we always like to do, we got plug time. William, do you have anything you got going on in the next? You have a number of drum workshops and everything. What do you have coming? What do you have coming up that you'd like to tell everyone about?
Oh yeah, basically, you know, I help run a few businesses. My main, you know, business is web design. I've been doing that for 20 years, but my secondary business is Archaic Roots, and you can find that on archaicroots.com. And like I said, I teach indigenous instrument making, so I run different workshops throughout the year, whether that is Native American flute making, African djembe drum making, Native drum making. The list kind of goes on. I have two workshops coming in April. That is a Native American flute workshop in the beginning of April and a djembe, African djembe drum workshop at the end of April. And then I also do other events that are kind of skill sharing kind of events through Archaic Roots. And then also me and my partner, like I mentioned earlier, we run reciprocitree.com, and that's basically an event business, and we do small festivals and retreats along with that fairy festival and a few other things. So the fairy festival is June 6th in Otto, North Carolina, and you can search fairy, spelled F-A-E-R-I-E, not like the usual fairy spelling. Fairy and Labyrinth Festival 2019 on Facebook, and it's all over there. So that's just a few of the things that I do.
All right, well, thanks. That's great. Papa Stroh, what have you got going on? What would you like to plug?
This Saturday, I will be a special guest at the Marion Comic-Con in Marion, North Carolina. So if you're in the area, come on. And see me and all the great talented people that will be there on hand at the Marion Comic-Con. And for more information, go to facebook.com/MarionComic-Con altogether. Those spaces for more info and ticket info how you can be part of the Marion Comic-Con in Marion, North Carolina. And all the latest on TV, wrestling, film, and merch, go to my official website at thestroh.com. Facebook at Stroh the Maestro. Twitter at @TheStroh. Instagram, Stroh Maestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Two words, STRO. Second word, MAESTRO. Stroh Maestro on the YouTube search. So go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, and support your boy Papa Stroh on Patreon at patreon.com/PapaStroh.
Absolutely, and thank you. And what I will say is we've got the Georgia Bigfoot Conference coming up April 26th through the 28th in Clayton, Georgia. A lot of other great things. Carolina Caricatures will be at the Sumter Geek Expo this weekend. Come out and see us there. If you're not going to go to Marion, North Carolina, come down to Sumter and hang out with us. And we'll be back next week on the one and only Scary Cast, because next week we will have Lyle Blackburn talking about his brand new book, Momo the Missouri Monster. So pleased to have Lyle coming to see us next week. So thanks a lot. Have a good one. Have a safe one, and safe weekend. We'll see you next week on Scary Cast. I think. Yes, we will.